Now, for those of you on Facebook that follow my page, you may remember a couple weeks ago, I think, that upon reading a post about the faithfulness of the women who witnessed the empty tomb, I said that I was going to base today's sermon on that topic. Guess what? Nothing has changed. And ladies, I hope I do you justice this morning. I really, truly look forward to your feedback. All right. I'd like to kick us off with a joke. That's a good way to start a sermon, right? Okay. It's really simple. If you are looking for ways to make your Easter service more biblical, that's important, right? Hold it at sunrise and only invite the ladies. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you for the laughs. I'd like to begin with a short narrative that my wife will also be using in her sermon this morning. It was written by the Reverend Sarah Nave Fisher, and Kathleen has that for us.
It's early in the morning, still dark. The alarm goes off. She tiptoes around the house, gathering her things so as not to wake the men and children. She pours a cup of coffee, leans against the counter, and closes her eyes one last time as she prepares herself to face the day. It's early in the morning, it's still dark, and there's work to do. She double-checks her basket for the oil and perfume she needed. She smiles to herself. She had overheard someone say that when the wise people had visited him after his birth, they had brought similar items. Her breath catches as the irony of that thought settles in. She checks on the kids, still sleeping. She quietly leaves and sets off toward the tomb. The streets are silent, except some crickets chirping in the distance. She walks carefully so as not to trip over a root or a rock in the road. As she gets closer, a dread sweeps over her. She was hoping it was a dream, that she would wake up and everything would go back to normal, to the way it was supposed to be. It's early in the morning, it's still dark. She's almost there when she meets her friends, Mary, the other Mary, and some mutual friends. Women they had met along the way of following Jesus in the past few years. They had been through so much together, and here they were together once more. Walking in silence, side by side, early in the morning, while it was still dark. Sure, some told them they were foolish. Yesterday, the day after it happened, their friends at the well had told them they'd better be off washing their hands of that man and moving on with their lives. For a moment, she wondered if they were right. Her heart started racing as she got closer. Her eyes started to well with tears, and she bore down with the grit and resiliency that this group of women all shared. They were ready to do the work. She started rehearsing in her mind what needed to be done. They'd need to work together to roll the stone away. Then they'd each take turns with the fragrant perfumes head to toe. She wasn't sure what would happen after that. They all had chores to do, of course, but she imagined that they'd gather at one of their homes for some fresh coffee and figs before they went on to do their Her thoughts were interrupted. As they approached the tomb, she realized that this was not how it was supposed to be. This was not how it was supposed to be. The stone wasn't there, but she knew that they were the first ones to arrive. Her heart raced faster. Her mouth ran dry. Her palms got sweaty as she entered the tomb and stared. He wasn't there. There was nobody. Then she heard someone speak. She turned to see two men sitting there. They had rolled the stone away. She looked down in fear. "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" they asked. Then she remembered his words, those words that didn't make sense at the time, but now she understood. He's not here, for he is risen.
Thank you very much. All right. So one of the foremost statistical reporting firms in the United States, the Pew Research Center, released a study in 2014 called the Religious Landscape Study. Now, Pew conducted more than 35,000 telephone interviews with Americans from every state in the Union to get their data. Now, there is a lot to the report, but for the purposes of this sermon, I wanted to highlight a portion of the findings that were, I'll say, particularly enlightening to me. See, I grew up in the church, and I was taught by example, not so much by word, that the most dedicated servants of God tended to be male, because in almost every congregation I've ever been a part of, the primary religious leader was a... Yeah. Now, in the past, the pastor was the foremost example of Christian life and service. Even now, pastors in the United Methodist Church are called to live according to the highest ideals of Christian teaching. Not too sure why that doesn't apply to every Christian, but I digress. Now, it's plain to see that these days, pastors are often anything but good examples of Christian living. Amen. Yeah. I don't think it's any coincidence that this problem exists, because, and I'm about to get myself into some trouble here, praise be to God, I think it's because the majority of pastors are men. Let's let that marinate for a second. You feel that? I would invite you, go and look at the data. Go and look at it. Google is a wonderful thing. A majority of all violent crime throughout the world is committed by men. We're talking everything from sexual harassment to murder. Now, why am I saying these things during an Easter sermon? Well, quite frankly, because this morning's scripture passage troubles me. You see, the women that found the empty tomb and then preached the first Easter sermon, just three words, thanks be to God, right? He is risen. That was it, church over, right? They were dismissed, much as their Savior had been dismissed. The ones that received the good news and tried to spread it were dismissed outright by men. Men who were once the disciples of Christ, who had abandoned him on Friday, who had abandoned him at the cross, who had abandoned him even before then. But the women? Not the women. Jesus had not, in fact, been abandoned by all of his friends. In all four Gospels of the New Testament, the authors were keen to inform the reader that many women who had followed Jesus from his beginnings in Galilee had been with him all the way to the cross. Mary, his mother, Mary Magdalene, Salome, Joanna, these are just a few of the named female disciples, but there were others. Some had accompanied the body to the tomb, and some had discovered the empty tomb. Now, when you think of witness testimony in a court of law, one of the things that affects the credibility of the witness is if they have a questionable background, such as criminal history or some other background that would create doubt about their ability to be honest or forthright. Many men followed Jesus, but they scattered in the face of opposition. What does this say about the character and fitness of male disciples? It was the women who stayed in the end. I do not find this at all surprising. See, I had the unique experience of being the child of a pastor, and this pastor was female. In fact, most leaders, religious or otherwise, that I have known and highly respected were indeed female. They bore and bear the qualities befitting true servants of God for one simple reason. Women have been traditionally taught to be selfless in service to their families, and men selfish, because the greater status a man can get, the better it's assumed they can provide for their family. And yet it took a man to verify the report of the women to make it credible. And not just any man. A man that had denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. I think we've all been in a position where we know something to be 100% certain, but no one will believe us. Maybe you're an expert in your field and somebody comes along, thinks they know more than you do, and they question a very basic thing. Or you feel sick and you call the doctor and you're told that you're imagining your symptoms. Nothing's wrong. Can't find it. You're over 50 and someone thinks you're too old to have a valid opinion, or under 50 and told you haven't lived long enough to know something. We've all been there when no one will believe us. And that is the essence of the Easter story for all of us, male and female. It is utterly unbelievable. We want to discredit the witnesses. All that is dark and unbelieving within us wants to discredit the witnesses. And yet the beauty of this story comes from that place within us that has spoken a truth that was not believed. It's for everyone that was told they were looking for hope in all the wrong places, had placed their hope in the wrong person or people. And that means that God needs us, every one of us, weak, strong, old, young, male, female, non-binary, white, brown, black, straight, gay, bi, educated, dropped out of school, rich, poor, somewhere in between, housed and unhoused, every one of our voices to share the good news of Jesus the Christ. Because we've all got an incredible story to tell about what Jesus has done for us. Now, I'm pretty sure that the women had some idea that they would be disbelieved. They could scarcely believe what they had seen. And yet, as is the character of the best women, they faithfully reported their message of hope. Even knowing that they might not be believed, they spoke up. They didn't run. They didn't try to dodge their responsibility. They didn't abandon their ideals when the going got rough. They hung on. That is why we're here today, why your butts are warming those pews. Because the women hung on. I'd like to close with the words of April Yamasaki from an article in the magazine The Christian Century. So if you write or speak, if you have conversations in the church or with your neighbors, if you're posting on Instagram or tweeting, whatever you have, whether you have a platform of thousands or maybe just an audience that you can count on one hand, if you have good news to share, then speak up. Sure, there are many other voices in our world today, more famous or louder or clearer. And some people may think you're talking nonsense. But what you say might be just the holy nonsense and great good news that someone else needs to hear. He is risen. Death is abolished for you and for me. And you didn't need me to tell you about it. Just listen to the women.